Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, going over some basic stuff in the way that you approach estate and tax planning issues.
Yeah.
And something you always say, and certainly reminded us last week, is to use your voice.
Yes, sir.
People let things kind of just que sera, sera, and that's not the good philosophy for life, and certainly not for estate planning.
No, it's not. And we need to use our voice. As a matter of fact, I think it's very scriptural that we use our voice and give a clear direction to our family of what we want. And really, that's in two specific times. Number one, which is oftentimes forgotten in estate planning, which is during your lifetime, if you were to experience a disability, which means that you need assistance for one reason or another, that if you were to experience a time like that, it is critical that you give direction on how you want to be cared for, how you want your money utilized for your care, how you want your money to be continually invested. When do you want to move from your home to a care facility? When is it okay to sell your home? When is it not okay? All of these questions, if someone were to need to stand beside you and assist you during a time when you could not make decisions for yourself, whether it was because of a grave physical issue or because it was because of a mental incapacitation, isn't it the best plan to give them clear, absolute direction? Now, here, there's two reasons why that's necessary. Number one, it gives them great confidence and security that they're making the proper decisions, because the individuals, hopefully, that you elect, because in order to elect the person to stand next to you, you have to do estate planning. It just doesn't happen by osmosis. So if you have a specific child or a specific individual that you want to stand next to you during that time, you have to use your voice and name them in a properly detailed legal document. Then that document should give them clear instructions, because they will have the confidence to make proper decisions. Isn't that what you would like? If you were going to ask somebody to assist us, isn't it the better plan to actually give them a roadmap instead of simply be silent? And so we want to lay out a strong roadmap to say, here are my instructions, and that gives them great confidence. Number two is that it protects them from outside attacks, whether that's another sibling, whether that's other beneficiaries down the road. The person who is helping you may have a finger pointed at them. I'll get this right with English here. They may have a finger pointed at them, and they can lift a well-documented plan up and say, look, I'm following the instructions exactly as it's laid out. That will quiet other voices from the peanut gallery. So it protects and it gives clear instructions to insist to give them that confidence. So then number two is that when you die, because that's what we think about in estate planning, is somebody's going to die, then also a good estate plan will make sure that, again, the instructions are well followed. That creates peace in the family. It ensures that the vision that God gave you is going to be carried out. And by the way, there are multiple tax advantages, and we can stay out of probate with good estate planning. There are so many positives in doing good estate planning versus remaining silent. Now, I used a scripture because I want to make sure that when we have a radio show like this, that we're always looking at the heartbeat of God. And I said last week, I know that this is not really the purpose for this scripture, but yet it really is the heartbeat of God, I believe, and it applies to estate planning. And it's found in Esther 4. And when Esther was spoken to, said, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. look, if we don't use our voice, then the vision that God has given us will perish. It'll perish and we will not be well cared for. It'll perish and his vision for your family will not be accomplished. And worse yet, if there is a kingdom purpose behind why your Heavenly Father has given you what he's given you, if there's a kingdom purpose behind it, then that will definitely be lost. And then our Heavenly Father will have to go to a different person to fulfill it. And I said last week, I really, really don't want to stand before my Heavenly Father and have him say, well done, good and faithful servant, but I really needed you to respond at that time, at that time, at that time, and you didn't do it. So I had to have someone else fill in the gaps there, but don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you. So I want to be able to stand before my Heavenly Father and not see those gaps in my lifetime. So estate planning, I believe from Esther, is that we can't remain silent. Too much rides on this because building God's kingdom is always a primary objective, specifically with our finances. And so if your Heavenly Father is going to give you a vision on how to do that, your last act of stewardship may not simply be give it to the kids 50-50 or however many kids you have. It may likewise be, hey, be sure to give to this place, that place, and the other place to ensure my kingdom can continue to go forth into a dying world. And that would be a rich, rich legacy. So we got to use our voice. Otherwise, there's no clear direction. That's when chaos ensues. That's when all the emotions come out. And maybe, unfortunately, the purpose by which you've been given will not be fulfilled as well.
Remind us again, you mentioned this last week, but if you didn't use your voice and you die without a will or trust or anything, does Washington State get everything, or is that something how should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, that's a common misconception. No, Washington State will not get everything. There is a pecking order for everything. Number one is that we would look down. So it's called intestate law. We would look downward first. Are you married? If you're married, then your spouse will get all the community property.
Goes without saying. That's their first.
But community property, though. So you have to determine what was yours together. Then a spouse will get it. Separate property, though. So if I received an inheritance and I kept it separate, so I didn't bring it into the community, I didn't bring it into jointness with my spouse. And many people do that, specifically if it's a reasonable amount of an inheritance. One spouse may elect to hold that as separate family money and not bring it into the marriage. So only marriage money, community property, that automatically goes to the surviving spouse of the community. But the separate property would actually be divided 50% between the spouse and 50% to kids. So if that's not your intent, which is maybe it was family money and that was designed because your family said, be sure that the grandkids get this, but some leaked over to your spouse. Or maybe your intent was, I'm holding it separate for other purposes, but I really intend for my spouse to utilize all this money for his or her lifetime and then have it go to the kids. Well, that was thwarted.
So because you didn't use your voice.
Because we didn't use our voice. Mm. And so there is a plan for you. Okay, I want you to hear this. There is a plan, and it may or may not line up with exactly what you want. And so, I want to get into blended families here as well, but boy, it gets even more complicated with blended families. So if you have something to say, hey, today is the day to say it. You've got to use your voice. And so in order to use your voice, you have to take a step. Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's ways to communicate with us. So therefore, let's start this journey, and we got to put what we learn into action. Faith without works is, and everyone just said, dead in their mind. Yes, because if we have a vision, if we have something that we believe, but we never implement it, that's our faith, that's our expectation. If we never implement it, it is impossible to carry forward. So therefore, we must implement, we must take a step.
Okay, well, one of those steps might be, what if you are married? How about if you are single?
Yeah, and so... It, I just mentioned it a little bit with the intestate. So if you don't have a plan, then it'll go to a spouse first as far as the community property. If you are single and we don't use your voice, then are you single because you're widowed, because you're divorced, or because you've never been married? Do you have kids? I know several people who are single but adopted a child. Mm. And so then you have a lineage, so it doesn't have to be a naturally born child. It can be adopted. But here's an interesting one. What if you are in a blended family and you end up raising children that are not yours, but you never adopt them, and so they're never your legal child, so they would miss out on any type of the legal requirements because it's either a naturally born child or an adopted child. So we always go down whether you're married or single. And then if we can't find someone under you, we'll go back up. We'll go back up to your grandparents. We'll try to find your parents. If they're deceased, then we're going to go to siblings. If all your siblings are deceased or you never had any, now we start running into big problems.
Well, it's probably rare, but the person who has nobody in the world that they're related to.
Yeah.
They're completely alone.
Yeah, I think we're always related someplace, but...
But the state wouldn't say, well, let's just give it to their favorite charity because
the state is happy to take it at that point.
So the state would take it.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. There is a final beneficiary in all this. Okay. But that is a real rarity. Mm-hmm. So if we can't find, we'll stay on the parent level. We'll go to siblings and then we're going to start spreading out to the cousin level and everyone else. So we're always trying to find somebody at a level, and we don't just give it to everybody. As soon as we find a level that is completed, so if you had siblings, then however many siblings are alive at that time, they're just going to split it equally. So if that is not okay with you, then we need to do good planning. If you have no siblings because they predeceased you and you have nieces or nephews, then they're going to split it all equally. And by the way, trying to find heirs like this, do you know how costly it is?
Yeah, I would say this this sounds like quite a full-time job.
It is. Right now, I have two cases where we cannot find a beneficiary. So now we've used a voice, but we can't find the beneficiary. Mm. And so now we've had to hire a private investigator.
Oh, gosh.
To try to track this person down. And pretty soon I'm going to have to go to the court and publish a newspaper notice.
Really?
If we can't find them there, then they have to be presumed to be predeceased.
Oh.
So missing beneficiaries. So if you name someone, but yet nobody knows where that person is, that's just as much of a problem. So not only good estate planning, but good follow-up is necessary as well.
So important to have a relationship with your estate and tax planning attorney.
Yep.
Someone like Paul Grant. People are intrigued. They want to know more. How do they do that, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming workshops, which are critically important. Let's get some good information about estate planning. And there's also ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com. Photos.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, looking at why it's so important to use your voice in estate planning, some
it
of the
is.
Basic teaching of Paul Grant. And Paul, you had alluded to a little bit in our first segment, but you want to expand on the predicament of blended families and
yeah.
what happens there.
Yeah, it is a complicated issue, and it needs to be addressed. If you, like, there's a couple things that really make estate planning more complicated right out of the gate, and having a blended family is absolutely one of those issues. Now, another one are small business owners. So small business owners, get your act together. I know it's hard. I'm a small business owner, and it's hard sometimes to pull our head out of our business and take care of our own lives. I get it. We're busy, and we're still trying to make the machine go forward, but you got to do it. You got to have a plan, because your business is everything, and that has to be integrated into your estate plan properly and wisely in order for your family to elicit the true value of your business. Otherwise, it's going to be a fire sale. That includes, by the way, a business owner could be someone who has multiple homes and rents them. You are a business owner, even though you may just consider yourself a landlord. Hopefully not a slumlord, but a landlord, a good one. So those are other places where we need to be very intentional and do good estate planning. So blended families, you know, unfortunately, at least from things I've seen, and I have not researched this in depth, so I'm talking out of a little bit of assumption here based upon older knowledge that I've had and statistics that I've heard in the church, which is really the church's divorce rate is not that much better than that of the world's. Now, that may be Christianity as a whole. That may be religion as a whole. And so maybe ours is a little bit better if we narrowed it down to true followers of Jesus Christ instead of just those who say I'm a Christian. And maybe our stats are better. I've never really looked at that. But nonetheless, we know that even as believers, that sometimes relationships become very difficult to rescue. And we know people who have walked away from relationships and then gotten remarried. And I truly believe that His grace is sufficient for all of our circumstances. And so that is the purpose of the cross, is to cover us and to cover our past and to give us a future and a hope based upon Him and Him alone. So in a blended marriage, we see it a lot in the church as well, where two people who may have families already in place, or you married somebody who has a child, and you come into that marriage, that is now a blended family, even if you don't bring your own kids in. And that is a setup for a difficulty. Mm. I've told this story many times on previous podcasts and radio shows, which is in law school, of course, I was unable to do anything, and the event had already passed, so there was nothing to do anymore. I was on a short vacation, the 1 week I had off between quarters in law school. For those of you who don't know, I went to law school much later in life. I went to law school when I was 38. So I had already been married for 13 years and had 7 and 8 year old daughters. Hmm. And so two girls, 7 and 8, and a wife. So we took off to take a quick vacation. My parents blessed us, say we'll pay for the hotels, get away, because when you're going to law school, you don't have any money. And so that was a huge blessing. We stopped by a friend's house and stayed with them for a couple of days. And he was talking about a story that his dad had just died, maybe about 6 months ago. And his dad's will says, hey, like many wills, like many templated documents, said, well, I just give everything to my spouse. And his spouse's name was right in the document. Well, the problem was that his wife died 10 years ago. Okay. Mm. So wife died. And what do men do when their spouse dies? Yes, they grieve, but for a very short period of time, and then they get remarried. And so true to form. And by the way, the statistics are that men get remarried within 2 years. I know many women say within 6 months. No, it's not that fast. It is 2 years. But we do need to be babysat. So therefore, we look for somebody who can help us out. And so he got married. It was actually 3 years. So he lasted a little bit longer. And then a 7-year marriage, and then he dies. He never did estate planning based upon the changed circumstance in his life. How often do you have to do estate planning? Consistently. Okay, so don't let gaps in. You should be having a relationship with your estate planner, and they should be reviewing your documents consistently for accuracy, because the law changes, taxes change, and yes, our lives do change. And so therefore, get into a relationship system with your attorney, not just a document producer. So the court interpreted his will to say the intent was, no matter what the name was, that he wanted to support his then spouse. So everything that my friend's parents had ever earned in their lifetime went to a second spouse, who then, within weeks, transferred everything to her daughter.
Hmm.
So was that the intent of this person? Maybe. The problem is, we don't know. Chances are no. Chances are he would have potentially wanted to assist his spouse, but then make sure that his three sons received something at the end if his then spouse didn't need it. So estate planning with blended families creates a whole host of problems. And that's one of them, which is the new spouse may actually be in place legally to grab everything, not fulfilling your intent, not fulfilling how you want your children to be cared for. I mentioned it, I think, a little bit earlier, which is, what happens if you've raised somebody from young? So the first marriage failed in your 20s, you had a couple kids, you come together, and now you have a long, successful marriage and a strong family unit, even though you're quote-unquote blended, but you never adopted those children of your spouse. They're technically not children. So if your spouse were to die, everything comes to you, and you don't do estate planning, we're going to look for only your blood or for adopted. And the children that you raised and you consider your children may be left out in the cold. Is that what you want? Maybe, but maybe not. And so there are unfortunate outcomes in this scenario all the time, which is, we have a blended family and we want to make sure that it works like this. As a matter of fact, most blended families have a very specific design in mind versus a couple who have been married for 50 years and have kids, and everything's just kind of down the bowling alley. Maybe one of their kids is disengaged from the family, so they don't want anything to go to that person or less to go to that person. It doesn't matter. Most long-term strong marriages, they're not overly complicated, but blended families, you walk in and you have a very specific vision in mind, and boy, do we have to talk it out. They take more time, more discussion to get it right, and that's good. We want to engage to ensure that the vision you have, and again, I'm going to encourage you, I am hoping that by the time you actually get to my door, that you've spent time in prayer. You've spent time seeking after your Heavenly Father to say, Heavenly Father, what is your plan? How much are we supposed to give to the kingdom purposes versus to our children to maintain their financial safety? How much are they supposed to get at the beginning versus in the middle versus at the end? Are we supposed to create a plan that ensures the income over a lifetime, because a child cannot manage money whatsoever? If you don't do planning, that kid is potentially just getting money. And that's where all the leakage happens. It's just going to be spent, or not intentionally being bad. They just have no financial skills, so they overspend. They make bad purchases, where we could have created a plan that protects your family And that is the big deal. We got to use our voice. And today is the day to create a plan that fulfills God's vision and a plan that can protect your family in the way that you see it to ensure their safety for generations if possible.
Well, it's so important to use your voice. And obviously, as you can tell, there's lots of complicating issues in estate planning. And so important to just start. Again, only half the people even have any kind of plan, a will or a trust. And Paul uses all kinds of vehicles and methods to help you make the best plan for you and your family. And it starts with getting in touch with Paul. How do people do that, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational workshops, and ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.